I call this meeting of the Conference Committee on Senate File 2909 to order. We don't quite yet have a quorum, but I heard that we have some senators who are on their way. So, and we're just going to do a walkthrough of the spreadsheet today so we can get started on that. And let's see, I think we're going to have both House and Senate Council walk through the fiscal spreadsheet. It is available online, and there are some copies in the room for those who want to walk through that with us. We've asked staff to only touch on the items that we have more major differences on with the spreadsheet. And with that, I will turn it over to Mr. Walls and Mr. Turner. Go ahead, Mr. Walls.
Madam Chair, I think Mr. Turner is under the impression that I'm walking through him, so I didn't want to scare him too much. But he will correct me if I make a mistake on the Senate provisions. Madam Chair, I believe everyone should have a spreadsheet in their packet. You asked me to just basically go over a very high level and highlight the key differences rather than go line by line. And I will state beforehand that there are some things that appear in both bills or similar provisions that are in either bill but appear in different portions of the spreadsheet, and so I may note that from time to time. So, Madam Chair, beginning on the first page in the Supreme Court, the key difference here is that for the courts, the Senate gives them operating increases for staff salaries of 9% the first year and 6% the second year, where the House is at 4.4%. This is true in the Supreme Court, in the Court of Appeals, and the District Courts. So with that difference, the Senate is about $4 million in the first biennium and 4.8 in the second biennium over the House due to the increase in salaries. In civil legal services, the House provides substantially more. The House is $20.5 million more than the Senate in the first biennium, and $30 million entails for civil legal services.
And Mr. Wells, if I could just stop you there, if you can tell us, since we're not going through line by line, it'd be helpful if you can give us the line number that you are referencing. Thank you.
So Madam Chair, on line one was the beginning of the Supreme Court, and civil legal services differences appear on line 16. Moving to the Court of Appeals on line 22, again, the differences are the increases in salaries. The Senate is $1 million in the first biennium and $1.3 million in tails over the House. Moving down to the District Courts on line 34, again, we have the salary differences. This is more substantial because the District Courts are a large portion of the budget, and so the Senate is $19.6 million more than the House in the first biennium and $27.4 million more in tails. On line 47, another key difference is that the House has an increase in jury pay from $20 a day to $50 a day, and this is $5 million more each biennium that the House funds that the Senate does not. Madam Chair, moving to page 2 on line 52, the Guardian Ad Litem Board. Both bills' funding levels are identical. Moving down to the tax court on line 59, they are very similar except for on line 63, the House again funds an increase in jury pay that the Senate does not. For the Uniform Laws Commission on line 67, the two bills are identical. For Board of Judicial Standards on line 74, the two bills are identical. On line 81, we begin the Board of Public Defense. The two bills are identical, which brings us down to the Department of Human Rights. On line 94 and line 95, there's a slight difference in the number of staff that each bill funds, and there is a $500,000 difference between the two bills each biennium, with the House spending $500,000 more. On line 99, we have the State Competency Attainment Board. For all intents and purposes, those are identical. And moving to page 3, the Board of Appellate Counsel for Parents, the House bill establishes this board, and it spends $2.2 million in the first biennium and $3.1 million in the entails to provide representation for appeals for parents. The Senate does not establish this board, and there is no funding. On line 112, the Sentencing Guidelines Commission, the two bills are identical in funding, and which brings us to the Department of Public Safety. beginning on line 123 for Homeland Security and Emergency Management. The key differences are beginning on line 132, local emergency management grants, the House is $1 million higher, and on lines 133 and 134, the House bill funds a Grand Portage Emergency Management Coordinator and also gives $3 million on a one-time basis for equipment purchase. Madam Chair, that brings us to the top of page 4. For the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, there are some differences here. Beginning on line 148, Violent Crime Reduction Strategy, the Senate funds three governor's initiatives on lines 149, 150, and 151 for forensic services, analytic and operational services, and investigative partnerships. There is no funding at this portion of the spreadsheet on the House side. However, the House does put money in a special revenue fund and then appropriates it to the Commissioner of Public Safety for the BCA to spend for very similar purposes. On line 153, a human trafficking response task force, the Senate level is $1.2 million higher per year. For FBI compliance, IT, and cybersecurity, the Senate bill is substantially higher than the House. And Madam Chair, on line 156, decrease forensic evidence turnaround, the Senate funds the positions requested by the governor. However, the House does fund a time limit for turnaround for sexual assault exam kits on line 157. Madam Chair, that brings us to the fire marshal on line 167. There are slight differences here, but there will be a correction made in future spreadsheets, which makes both sides identical. On the Firefighter Training and Education Board, beginning on line 180. The key difference here is that the Senate provides funding from the general fund of $1 million a year for 2 years. Otherwise, the funding is identical. Madam Chair, that brings us to the top of page 5, alcohol and gambling enforcement. The Senate provides funding for an IT improvement project. The House does not. Otherwise, the funding is identical. Madam Chair, then moving down to line 200, the Office of Justice Programs, there are many differences, and I'll try to highlight the larger ones. On lines 210, Youth Services Office and Grants, the Senate provides $10 million, the House does not. On line 211, Community Crime Prevention Grants, the Senate provides $10 million on a one-time basis. The House has other funding from the Special Revenue Fund in a different portion of the bill. On line 212, Resources for Crime Victims, the Senate provides $2 million, the House does not. The Senate also funds $5.6 million for the Governor's Minnesota HEALS Trauma Services request, the House does not. And Youth Intervention Grants, on line 214, the House includes an increase of $7.5 million per year, and that is ongoing funding. The Senate provides $5 million per year for 2 years. On line 220 begins a substantial youth justice programs sort of grant cluster in the House bill. On line 220 is the Juvenile Restorative Justice Office. The House includes, the Senate does not. On line 221, dual status youth programs, $1 million a year, again, House only. On line 222, youth restorative practice programs, $5 million a year in the 24-25 biennium, and $2.5 million ongoing. The House includes, the Senate does not. On line 223, the House includes Ramsey County juvenile placement homes at $5 million one time. And on line 224, Ramsey County Violence Prevention and Wellness Grants for $1.25 million a year. The Senate has similar items, but they are in a different portion of the spreadsheet. On line 225, Community Co-Responder Grants, The House includes $3 million per year for 24 and 25, and then $4.5 million ongoing. The Senate does not include a similar provision. On line 229, the House has $1 million a year for first responder mental health grants. There's no similar provision in the Senate bill. And on line 232, crime victim services funding, the Senate includes $5 million a year ongoing. The House does not include that funding. Madam Chair, that takes us to page 6, which is emergency communication networks. The funding is identical with one key difference on line 247. The Senate includes roughly $8 million more for public safety radio system equipment grants. Beginning on line 253, administrative services within the Department of Public Safety. Key differences are on lines 259 and 260. The Senate includes the First Responder Wellness Office, $600,000 ongoing, and body-worn camera grants for $6 million. The House does not include that funding. Madam Chair, moving down to the post board on line 273, the funding is similar. The House adds a couple extra staff that the Senate does not include. And again, this is also true in the private detective board. The House adds a couple additional staff positions that the Senate does not. Moving to page 7, we begin the Department of Corrections in Incarceration and Pre-Release Services. The House includes body-worn cameras and Prison Rape Elimination Act FTEs at $1 million a year. The Senate does not. Under Health Services, on line 306, the House includes the funding for 24-hour nursing. The Senate includes behavioral health care at Shakopee, dental care, disease management unit, private nursing home placement, and study and telemedicine. This House bill does not include those provisions. The Senate includes on line 312 virtual court coordination and modernization at $500,000 a year. The Senate does not. Under educational services, beginning on line 314, the House includes funding for the governor's request for educational staffing at 27 FTEs. The Senate includes a lower amount. The Senate also includes money for classroom space, IT education components, vocational training, Pell partnerships, cognitive processing therapy, supplies, and expanded work release that the House does not include. However, the House does have work release money in a separate area. The Senate also includes successful reentry for public safety, 20 FTEs. The House does not, and an evidence-based practices unit that the House does not include. Under family support, both bills include some money for inmate phone call subsidies. For other items on line 329, the Senate has interstate compact transportation reimbursements at $250,000 a year. The House does not include this item. The Senate on line 336 has a juvenile release board with a bed impact savings there. And on line 337, a substantial difference. The Senate includes mandatory minimums for crimes committed with a firearm. The House does not include this. This is a bed impact of $6 million in the 24-25 biennium and 9.6 in 26-27 biennium. Madam Chair, that brings us to page 8, Community Supervision and Post-Release Services. There appears to be a substantial difference on lines 349 to 353. What I can tell you is while the numbers look substantially different, the funding is identical, and this will be remedied in the future. The key difference here is that the House moves the money to a special revenue account, and the Senate spends it through the general fund, but again, those funding items are essentially identical. On line 355, community supervision grants and an administrator, the Senate provides $10 million per year in the 24-25 biennium and $8.56 million in TAILS. It appears that the House does not fund this. However, we fund this through a special revenue fund at $5 million per year later in the spreadsheet. On line 360, public safety through stable housing, the House includes funding for this governor's initiative. The Senate does not. On line 366, the House moves the GADAI unit to MNSCU, so there's a subtraction of $500,000 a year from the corrections budget and an addition to MNSCU. The Senate does not include this provision. On line 367 is the House's funding for expanded work release at $500,000 per year. On line 368 is the model discharge plans for county jails. The Senate also funds the position for the coordinator at $80,000 per year in a different portion of the bill. The House bill includes money for grants to counties. On line 371 and 372 is the Ramsey County Juvenile Placement Homes and Wellness Grants that appear in the OJP portion of the House bill. Moving down to line 377, Organizational, Regulatory, and Administrative Services. The key difference here is the Senate provides substantially more money on a one-time basis for the public safety data infrastructure at $45 million a year. The House provides $1 million a year, but that is ongoing funding. The Senate funds the recruitment and retention funding and the accountability and transparency money on lines 382 and 383. The House bill does not include funding for those initiatives. Madam Chair, moving to the top of page 9, the Ombudsman for Corrections, the funding is identical in both bills. Beginning on line 401, where the House makes appropriations to other agencies outside of our purview based on bills that are included here but are funded through other agencies, there is on line 403, this was something made in the public safety funding to the public defender, which is aiding and abetting felony murder at $750,000 one year only. This may be moved to the public defender section later in the conference committee. On line 404, again, I mentioned transferring JDAI from corrections to MNSCU. This is the appropriation to MNSCU. On line 405, the ERPO costs, on the Senate side, this is funded within the Supreme Court line. I believe the funding is identical. On line 406, the House includes a small amount of funding to the DNR for conservation officers to be trained and the application of Narcan, and also provides money for the Narcan kits. On lines 407 and 408, the House has money to the Higher Ed Office of Higher Education for use of force office. And on line 408 is the purchase or upgrade for First Witness Child Advocacy. This is $1.5 million on a one-time basis. Madam Chair, this brings us down to line 412, General Fund Transfers. On lines 415 and 416, this would be the way that the House funds the probation, or excuse me, the supervision accounts. The funding is identical on line 415 to the Senate. It's just done through the Special Revenue Fund. On line 416, these are our grants to local communities for supervision. I believe the Senate earlier in the spreadsheet was at $10 million a year. The House is at $5 million. On lines 417 and 418, this would be funding to the BCA. $75 million is put into an account on a one-time basis, and the funding is up to $15 million a year to the BCA for crime prevention. On line 418 is $100 million to be put into community crime and violence prevention account, and this is appropriated to the commissioner at $20 million a year for grants to local communities. On line 419, Senate has a crisis response criminal investigation account, and they put $14 million into that account. On line 421, the House has $10 million on a one-time basis to the Peace Officer Education and Training account. This, again, is a general fund transfer into a special revenue account. Madam Chair, those are the key differences, and below that would basically be totals and some of the appropriations made to the agencies out of those special revenue accounts that I detailed earlier. And Madam Chair, that unless Mr. Turner has anything to add, that would be the key differences in the spreadsheet.
Thank you, Mr. Wiles. Mr. Turner.
Yeah, Madam Chair, members.
Oh, would you mind moving your microphone?
Oh,
yeah. That's better. Yeah, that'll be better. Thank you.
Chair, members. I'd just like to add, under revenue adjustments on line, what would be line 436, the Department of Corrections is recognized in their probation reform, Article 12. A $5,910,000 general fund loss when they it occurs in billbacks from county probation officer counties that go back to the general fund. So in the probation reform, we have the appropriation numbers are identical between the House and the Senate. We also have to carry identically that $6 million loss each year, recognize that loss, and that would be recognized under revenue adjustments.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for that clarification. Oh, yeah, Mr. Walson.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to note one more thing. On line 63 under tax court, it is mislabeled increased jury pay. That should be pay for law clerk salaries.
So line 63, tax court, says increased jury pay, and it should say increased law clerk salaries?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, Chair Becker-Finn.
Thank you, Chair Mueller. And I think it might be helpful if Mr. Walls could point out the difference there with the law clerk pay. I don't think we touched on that when we walked through, because that shows up in a couple different places.
That would be helpful. Mr. Walls.
Madam Chair, the House bill includes money for a law clerk base pay increases for to bring the law clerks in the district courts, court of appeals, and the tax court up to the level, entry level salaries up to the level of Supreme Court. I believe this brings them from somewhere in the $59,000 range to around $72,000 to start.
Thank you. Chair Becker-Finn.
I just wanted to clarify that on the record. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Right. Thank you. And we've, we've also been told from media that we still, Mr. Turner, we were still unable. You need to pull that mic a little bit closer so we can pick it up. And then if you can just repeat what you said so those that are watching can hear you.
Madam Chair and members. This is the public spreadsheet. Since this spreadsheet has been made public, the DLC has come forward and has recognized that $6 million general fund loss in the probation reform Article 12. And so as Mr. Walls stated, the appropriations between the Senate and the House, although done differently, are identical and have identical impact. But both the Senate and the House or the conference committee report will have to carry a $6 million general fund loss, and it would be on line 436. It will be created in the next iteration of the spreadsheet.
Thank you so much. All right. Do we have any member questions or comments? Vice Chair Feist.
Yeah. Thank you. I just wanted to mention, as long as you asked, and this is very weedsy conversation, that one of the line items for public safety incorporated some specific smaller grants for things like dual status crossover youth, so children who are impacted by both the juvenile justice system and the child welfare system, and that for us is a separate line item. So I think there's overlap between some of those public safety, juvenile justice provisions and separate line items in the House version.
Thank you. Vice Chair Umu-Verbaten.
Thank you, Chair Mueller. I'm wondering, in the post-board section, in the Senate version, we funded investigators for code of conduct violations. I do see that the House just had more funds for additional staff. So was that for that purpose?
Thank you for that question. Yes, Senator, it was for that purpose. And we used the number that was based on the administrative law judge review. I think their report perhaps came out after the governor's budget was put together. I'm not entirely sure of the timing, but the number we used was based on what the ALJ said was necessary to, in order for them to have the right number of staff to conduct the investigations. Thanks for that question. Anything else? Yep, Chair Letts.
Thank you. There was a difference in the Human Rights Department on line 95. Perhaps we can get a better understanding of why there was a difference there.
Give us a second to get there. I'm likely going to call on you, Chair Becker-Finn, unless you want. Go ahead, Chair Becker-Finn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe we had the numbers on the House side was what was requested by the department, but I mean, they're giving the thumbs up from the audience, so I'm not sure why that number was higher in the Senate, since we fully, looks like we've got maybe an answer over here.
Oh, go ahead. Mr. Turner.
Madam Chair, members. Representative Becker-Finn is correct. The House figure reflects the governor's recommendation. The Senate figure represents the amount requested in Senate File 691, which was higher. So that's in addition to the governor's rec, the senator asked.
Thank you. Anyone else?
So, Madam Chair?
Yeah, Chair Lentz.
So I guess at some point we'll need to hear from the department as to what number they actually need to make it work as we work our way through these.
You want to come down now? Commissioner Lucero is here, so if you want to come down, that would be helpful, Commissioner. Sorry to put you on the spot, but we're glad you're here. Please introduce yourself, and if you can answer that question, that would be helpful.
Good morning. Rebecca Lucero, Commissioner for the Minnesota Department of Human Rights. Thanks. Easy question to answer. We would recommend the amount that was in the governor's budget, which is in alignment with what the House has in their budget line item.
Chair Latz.
That's all I needed to know. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner. Anyone else? So we are still awaiting the side-by-sides, and we would love to be able to go through those, but we actually don't have those documents yet. So, and I will point out to members and members of the public, we have quite a few letters that were put in the packets. They are posted online. Since the deadline for posting, we've received some additional letters, so I anticipate at some point that we'll probably have more letters. I want to give everybody a chance to look through all of these as well, because they are really important. Do we have, Chair Latz, any idea about tomorrow? Not to put you on the spot either.
It's so far away.
Yeah, it's so far away, that's true. In legislative time, it is. We were going to evaluate this afternoon what we have in terms of side-by-sides to be able to make these comparisons. I think if we don't have enough ready in that regard, then we might just sort of create our own side-by-sides, pick and choose at least some of the items that we can take a look at, whether we want to do that on the budget items or whether we want to do that on the policy language. I think we should probably just coordinate between the chairs here to figure out what we want to prioritize.
Oh, yeah, Chair Becker-Finn.
Thank you, Chair Mueller. And I was going to say, as much as I would like the official side-by-sides, I think we're all smart people and can probably figure out a way to get some work done without them. So I would second that suggestion. I think that's a good plan.
That sounds good. And we still, tomorrow, I think the plan is still to meet at 10. I'm told it's to be determined. We have been, a couple of us are on the Ways and Means Committee, and we do have a meeting tomorrow morning. Hearing that we also may have session tomorrow as well, so makes it difficult. But so just be paying attention to what we post as far as when we're going to meet. Chair Latz.
Chair Mueller, are you anticipating being ready to meet any earlier than 10, or are you suggesting that it might have to be a little bit later?
I think it would have to be later, given I think Waze is scheduled for 9 a.m. tomorrow.
Okay. You have to work around that.
I know. Anything else? No. All right. Well, with that, that concludes today's planned agenda, and we are in recess.